Psalm 33, verse 18 and 19. And here we have a comforting word from the Lord. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. And as announced, the title of my sermon is His Eye is on His Elect. Now we know that the Lord takes care of His creation. He feeds the sparrows. He takes care of the sparrows. And these are unclean birds. And if He takes care of the sparrows, His eye is on the sparrow. We sang the hymn just now. How much more He will also care for us. He has a common and a general love for His creation, for His creatures. But He has a special love and a special grace for those of us who are His children. And that is so wonderful to know. And surely Psalm 33, 18 to 19 tells us of this. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. And those who fear Him are His children. Those who trust in Him, those who believe on Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, that do not trust in themselves, but trust in the living and true God. Today we are living in a very troubled world, no doubt about it. And you may have read last Monday's papers. Do you read the Straits Times last Monday, the headlines? What did the paper say? Now, the Straits Times on April the 14th, the headlines read, "Rising food prices could result in mass starvation." And when you read such a headline, do you not feel worried and anxious? The world may be heading towards a global famine, mass starvation. And the poor will get poorer for sure. And there will be chaos, rebellion, unrest due to all these things. And should this take us by surprise? I don't think so. As Christians, we are children of light, aren't we? Because what we read in newspapers, we already know from the scriptures. For the Lord had already said in Matthew 24, that in the end times, in the last days, just before He returns, such things will happen. For in Matthew 24, verse 7 to 8, we read, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places." So what we read in the newspapers should not take us by surprise. It should not worry us or cause us to be anxious. We know such things will happen and must happen. And then the Lord will come back to deliver His own and to judge this present wicked world system. And the Lord also says, this is only the beginning. The beginning of sorrows. Things will get from bad to worse, not better. So the world today indeed is increasingly plagued by natural disasters, famines, diseases, earthquakes, and this will lead to poverty and trouble in life. And in the midst of a bad news world, do we have good news? Indeed we have. And the good news is right here. We have just read, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy." This is the gospel. This is good news here for those of us who trust in the Lord. So we are not worried. We are not frightened. We are not scared. We are not discouraged or disheartened. Because we know the Lord is in control. The Lord is in charge. Nothing happens by chance. Everything has been planned by Him, and He knows what is ahead. And He knows how to take care of us and provide us for all that we need. For those who trust in Him and hope in His mercy. And so these are very comforting words, words of promise. And of course, the Lord, the eye of the Lord here is His all-seeing eye. He knows everything. Every single minute thing He knows. Not only the things happening in the world, but the things in our lives. Every single one of us. He knows even the number of hairs on our head. He knows everything. And so He is a God who is entirely reliable. He can be trusted. And we'll be very, very foolish to trust in ourselves instead of trusting in Him 100%. And so over here we read that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, and His eye, the eye of the Lord, is upon them that fear Him. Yes, indeed. What is the fear of the Lord here? Those who fear Him. What is this fear? This fear, of course, is the fear of God. The fear of the Lord. And what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is this holy terror that we must have. It's not just, you know, respecting God or revering God. It's more than that. It is this holy terror. Fear, right? Fear is fear. Being afraid. This holy terror and fear that we must have in our minds, in our hearts, in our whole being. As we stand before the thrice holy God, it will cause us to humble ourselves, to know that we are nothing. We are wretched. We are undone. And having this knowledge, we bow our knee. We go to the ground, even our face, to be upon the ground itself, humble ourselves to the dust, to worship God, to believe on Him, and to trust in Him as our Savior. That is this holy terror we must have. And this holy terror will translate not only into humility and worship of God, this it will also cause us to want to obey His commandments. We do not want to displease God. We don't want to make Him angry with us. We want to make Him happy. We want to love Him. And if we want, and if we love Him, Jesus says, you will what? Keep my commandments. That is the fear of the Lord. And this kind of fear can only be found in those who are born again. Those who are believers. All believers should have this fear of God in their hearts. And you know, this fear of God, the best picture I can find in the Holy Scriptures about what the fear of God is, and our due response to this is in the example of Isaiah. It's found in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. It's a passage that I'm sure you're familiar with. How the Lord gave a glimpse of His glory and His holiness to the prophet Isaiah. And we read in Isaiah 6, 1 to 5, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the poles of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me. You see, Isaiah, once he beheld the glory and the holiness of God, he suddenly realized how bad he was, how sinful he was. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, that is the fear of God. We come before God in such a way, when we come to God's house, this is an auditorium, but it becomes a sanctuary when God's people meet every Lord's Day. And in this sanctuary, how do we come before the Lord? Do we take the Lord lightly? Is this in our mind and hearts that when we come to church, we are coming to meet this thrice holy God and there's great fear and reverence in our heart? How do we come to church? How do we dress? With what attitude do we come? Do we come with a mind to just go through the motions and then, you know, this is all to it? This is what I owe to God, and now the rest of the time I can do what I want. In fact, the activities for the rest of the day after worship service are more important than the worship that we offer Him in the morning. Do we come to God like this? How we must fear God in our hearts, truly worship Him. When we worship the Lord, do our minds stray away? Or do we really pay attention to Him? And in our order of worship, is always every single part is directed to God. Our words might be few, and every part of our worship is filled with the Word of God, that we might focus our minds and our hearts on Him. Do we fear the Lord in our lives, not only on Sunday, but every day of the week? You know, such a fear of God is good, because such a fear of God will lead to salvation and to service. And that's why later on, when Isaiah humbled himself before God, fearing God in such a way, God blessed him. God forgave him of his sins. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, Isaiah said, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. So every time we come to the Lord's house, to this sanctuary, to worship the Lord with the fear of God in our hearts, we can be very sure God will forgive us and cleanse us from our sins. How we need His cleansing, His forgiveness of our sins every time, or else we cannot survive. And every time we come to church, it is with this spirit. Lord, yes, I'm man of unclean lips. I've said many wrong things during the week. I've done many wrong things. Yes, thank you, O Lord, that through the reading of the scriptures, my heart has been convicted, and now I confess my sins before Thee. I humble myself before Thee. I fear Thee, O Lord. I'm so sorry that I've displeased Thee. I'm sorry that I did not place my faith enough on Thee. And the Lord says, all right, I'll forgive you and will wash away all your sins. Do you find this to be the case, your experience every Lord's Day after service? All the burdens of sin roll away. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That promise is very true. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. But if we have a proud heart, I don't need God, I only maybe need Him 50%, not 100%. And we have this pride in us, and we don't have this absolute fear of God, then we cannot be blessed. And those who come to church, they come to take a snooze. They sleep. They don't pay attention to God's word. They take God's word lightly. But here you have Isaiah. Come to church. And he went down on his knees and to his face, woe, woe is me. Woe am I. And then when our sins are forgiven, then we can serve the Lord. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Now the Lord can use us. So the fear of the Lord makes us to be born again, to be a child and a servant of God. And that's why it's so good to have the fear of the Lord in our hearts. As Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 and chapter 9 verse 10 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Of knowledge. And the beginning of wisdom. Because now you know who God is in all His fullness. Then you know who you are. God is so holy, I am so wretched, I must get right with Him. You see? And then it gives us wisdom too. Now, how can I live my life on this earth? And then you pay attention to God's word. God's word is wisdom. And then you have a desire to keep God's law. You delight in God's law, and the Lord, and you pray to the Lord, and the Lord gives you the wisdom how to apply His word right in your life. And take note of this. God is our provider and our protector. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Yes, we don't deserve good things from the Lord, but the Lord is very kind to give to us. And if we are in God's good book, only those who fear God will be found in the Lamb's book of life, in His good book. And once our names are found in the Lamb's book of life, God has a good plan for us. He will provide for us. He will protect us. He will preserve us. And that's why Romans 8:28 is true. All things what? Work together for good to them that love Him. Those who fear God. Those who love Him. And to them who are the called according to His purpose. So the world may be facing a war. The world may be facing a recession or even a depression. There may be famine. But believers need not be scared or frightened or afraid. We can remain unmoved and untouched. We can be filled with God's joy and God's peace despite the storms that are brewing or blowing at this time. If only what? We have the fear of God in our hearts. When we fear God, we don't fear anything else. The circumstances in this world. That's why we teach our children a good song, right? With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. It's a good song. And this we should also bear in mind as adults. Many storms in life, whether at school, at work, or at play. Even our children go through, I'm sure, many storms, stresses and pressures in study. My daughter says she hates to go to school. Well, I can understand why. Because, yeah, many trials and testings, exams are coming. Many extracurricular activities, many duties, responsibilities, homework to do, so on and so forth. And our bodies get tired easily. But despite all these things, when we have the fear of God in our hearts, we can overcome all these things. And we know that God will help us in time of need. We pray to Him. You see? We trust in Him. We depend on His strength. And He will carry us through. FEBC students may feel like this right now. Oh, may the Lord come back today so that tomorrow I no need to take my Greek exam or whatever exams I have. No, the Lord says, occupy till I come. And all these things are good. All these trying circumstances are good so that we might exercise that fear of God in our lives. Fear God. Don't fear anything else. And when there's this fear of God in our hearts, then we have confidence in our lives to go through all these trials and testings in life. And our faith might increase. You know, that's why Jesus could sleep soundly in the boat or in the ship. When the Sea of Galilee was very, very boisterous, and the waves are huge, and the boat was even about to be capsized, and the disciples were all frantic in panic. And then Jesus was sleeping at the back, very soundly. And the disciple says, Lord, wake up, we are in trouble. Don't you care for us? And how is it that Jesus could sleep soundly in such a time? Because the Lord knows everything will be fine. God is in control. And He will fulfill His purpose and plan our lives. If only the disciples who had that kind of faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith that Jesus had on His Father. The Father will take care. And He chided His disciples. Oh, how is it that you have so little faith? And Jesus, just one word from His mouth, all the trouble, what? Goes away, right? The storm ceased. And there's peace and quiet. Just one word from His mouth. That's the kind of God that we worship. Do we realize that? That's why the fear of God is so good. And we must cultivate that. Increase. We talk about faith. Yes, we want to increase also our fear of Him. Fear of God. And in such times, we can have 100% confidence in God when we fear Him. And what are the characteristics of those who fear God? What are the characteristics of God-fearers? You know, in this psalm, we find two characteristics. If you fear God, you experience these two things. Firstly, the fearers of God here are characterized by joy, right? If you fear God, you will have the joy of the Lord. And this we read in, you know, the first few verses of the psalm, Psalm 33, verse 1 to 3, we read, "Those who fear God rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. For praise is comely for the upright." Those who fear the Lord are those who are righteous, justified by faith. And those who are upright because they seek to live a godly life. And to those who are righteous and upright, they always have what? Only praise for the Lord, thanking Him, rejoicing in the Lord. And this is not in good times, it's in difficult times. The psalmist was going through difficult days and he can still write like this. Why? Because he fears God and he knows this God whom he worships. Because the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. We sing unto the Lord a new song. Why? It's not the old songs all the time, but new songs because of new experiences, new deliverances, answered prayers. We may come across different types of trials and tribulation and troubles in our life, and then we seek the Lord in prayer. The good eye of the Lord is upon us, and He delivers us every time we have a new thanksgiving item. You see, a new song to sing, and how He has delivered us from different situations and dangers and problems and troubles. We have a new song to sing. Do we experience the Lord like this? When we fear God, God helps us. And then when trying and difficult days come, we don't blame God. We don't complain. We don't murmur. We don't rebel against Him. We don't grumble, you see. When we grumble, we murmur, we complain against God, it is a sign that we don't fear Him. When we fear Him, we will not blame God for anything that happens in our life, especially in bad times. We'll always praise Him. God is always right. God is always good. He does nothing wrong. And I praise Him no matter what. Now, that's the fear of God. But when we start complaining against God, murmuring against Him, blaming Him, why must this happen to me? Of all the people, of all the things, why me? And then we begin to question God and speak to Him angrily instead of humbling ourselves, examining our lives, our hearts, confessing our sins. We begin to blame Him. Then it shows that we have no fear of God. If we have the fear of God, we'll always be rejoicing, you see. Praising the Lord. Sing a new song. And of course we can sing all this and do all these things, rejoice in the Lord, because of the truth, right? The solid foundation of His Word. You know, such happiness of the psalmist, of those who fear God, is not based on wishful thinking. We don't have a hope-so faith. We have a know-so faith. We know all His words are true. We are certain of His promises. God will keep His words. And that's why the psalmist here says, "I'm this not just wishful thinking. This is all based on the solid foundation of the word of the Lord." Well, look at verse 6. It says here, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth." Consider the power of God. Just one word from Him that comes out of His mouth, the whole universe was created. Don't we worship this living and true God who is our Creator? He made everything. He made you and me. And if His word is so powerful, what have we got to fear? And then verse 7, He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He laid up the depths in storehouses. Did He not part the Red Sea and deliver the people of Israel from the mighty Egyptian army? He did all these things. And so, tells us here, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And in times of difficulties, when you have enemies who seek for your life, who seek to destroy you, what do you do? The words of man cannot fight against the words of God. Verse 10 tells us, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, all their schemings, all their plans to destroy the truth, to destroy the church, to destroy God's people. He will bring the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. On what basis? Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. And this tells us that the word of the Lord is not only inspired, it's preserved, right? Verse 11 is a promise of God's preserved word. And we'll always know what it says, and we may find comfort and strength in time of need. The counsel of the Lord, that is the word of God, all the prophecies, all the promises, all the statutes, all the precepts, all the commandments, everything in God's word, the counsel of the Lord, the word of God standeth for how long? Forever. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And we can be very sure the words of men will pass away. It will come to no effect. But the words of the Lord will keep on standing, remain true, and God will fulfill all the prophecies, fulfill all the promises He has made to us. You see? And for us who fear God, not only do we praise Him and rejoice in Him who is almighty and all-seeing, by the word of the Lord were the heavens and the earth made, and He commanded and it stood fast, we must also have the faith to believe that all these things are true, even what? Today. God has not stopped working. God has created the world, yes, and He rested from His creation. He is not creating new things today. But today He's maintaining, in control, sustaining, providing for us. He is still working. The same powerful God is still working today. And His word that is inspired and preserved remains infallible, inerrant, 100% perfect without any mistake, and we can trust every word here. Right? And those who fear God must have this faith to keep on believing and not doubting in anything that the Lord has said. And one very good example will be the nation of Israel. You want an example of how God is still powerful today, and that He has not only inspired His word but also preserved His words and His promises? Look at all the promises He made to the nation of Israel, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And is Israel destroyed? Is Israel no more? Is Israel cast away? His promises are always yes and amen. And although Israel, yes, had been unfaithful to the Lord must remain faithful to Himself, to His promises. And all Israel shall be saved. Romans 11:26. Paul tells us, yes, Israel had been wayward. Israel backslided from the Lord. But those whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Israel goes through chastening. But the promises remain true. And Israel, despite all the troubles it faced in history, because of disobedience, the Lord has kept His promise, and now Israel is back in the land.
in the land of promise, never to be uprooted again, according to Isaiah 11:11-12. Has he not kept his promises? Do we not have a miraculous God who works even miracles today? Israel is a miracle nation. And God will keep Israel. And if God keeps Israel, he will keep also what? His church, his people, those who fear him. You see, why do we doubt the Lord and doubt his words? Why do we listen to the words of men rather than the words of God? The Bible says it, that settles it, and our duty is to believe it. That is the approach of the God-fearer. But if you fear man, and you have respect for man, and a high regard for man, so-called scholars who are very intelligent, and they say one word against the Bible, you say, how can he be wrong? Yes, let God be true, every man a liar. Man can go wrong. Man goes wrong many times. God never goes wrong. His word also, you see. And so, there's blessing for those who fear God, who praise him, who rejoice in him, who praise him, and who have faith in him and trust in him, in his inspired and preserved word. And that's why in Psalm 33, verse 12, it says here, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord will fulfill all his promises to the nation of Israel, whom he had chosen, and the Lord will fulfill all his promises to the church as well as to believers whom he had elected to be saved. And once we are in the Lamb's good book, book of life, we will experience life not only now but even forevermore. And what a good God we have. And so we are not afraid. We are not anxious. Because those who don't fear God, those who deny God, they are already defeated. Right? So verse 10 we already read, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. So let us not trust in man or the strength of man. For verse 13 onwards tells us, the Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Don't think that, oh, you have a great army. You have all the weapons you need. Therefore, you will be saved. You will not be conquered. Don't think that, oh, you have mighty men behind you, supporting you. Therefore, you are very strong and you will never fail. There is no king saved by the multitude of host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Verse 17, and horse is a vain thing. A horse is a powerful animal, right? Very strong animal. And you think that, oh, with a horse I can flee to safety. No, the horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. We should not trust in human or animal strength. We should trust only in God's strength and God's word and God's mercy. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. So in times of trial and tribulation, and when the strong and mighty would oppress and persecute you, what do you do? You must always look up. Some people think that, oh, in order to counter the evil schemes of men, I mean, they think 10 steps ahead of you, right? They plan, they scheme to get rid of you, to destroy you. They have all kinds of plans. Plan A doesn't work. How about plan B, plan C, plan D? And I was asked, you know, what plans do you have to protect yourself or to protect those with you? Don't you have all these plans? And then there are those who say, you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Well, sounds good, isn't it? I say, I have no plan. I don't know what the future would hold. I just pray to the Lord. I only have one plan, plan G. G means God. God knows, God sees all things, the eye of the Lord. I can't see everything. I don't know everything. We can't. Right? We can't see everything. We can't know everything. We do not know what will even happen tomorrow. But God knows. And I trust not in my eye, but in God's eye. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. And sometimes it is very hard. It is very hard to do this. Because all these things here are coming at you, right? You feel all the pressures and stresses in life. In your workplace, you meet up with nasty peoples, evil, wicked men, with all their practices, and you want to resist, and then you are always push to the corner. How to escape? And sometimes you think, I want to act. Sometimes it's harder to wait, right? It's easier to act and to work. It's harder to wait. And the Lord tells us, wait on Him. Why is it that sometimes, you know, the Lord doesn't exercise His justice and His judgment immediately? We are very impatient people. We want things to happen instantaneously, immediately. God to send His judgment now. But this is not our God. Our God is a very, very patient God. He is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. And when the Lord delays in His actions, in His judgment, in executing justice, doesn't mean that He is not seeing, not knowing. He delays because He wants all men to repent and be restored unto Him. That's why He delays. And He wants us also to wait as He waits. We also must wait. Wait on the Lord, on His timing. To be patient like He is patient. And so we must cultivate this virtue, which is God's virtue, the virtue of patience, endurance, despite all the things that are happening to us, right? So God is long-suffering. So God waits. Why does He wait? He waits because He is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He waits also because He wishes to allow evil to reach its height, its maximum, so that when the Lord delivers, we would know for sure that it is He who has delivered us, and not we ourselves, so that all glory might go to Him, you see. He delivers us out of an impossible situation, so that we might know He is the one who has done it, and not any one of us. And sometimes the Lord waits for that reason, that His glory might be manifested. And the third reason why the Lord waits, right? Because He wants to test and prove our faith. Will we keep believing or not? Will we keep trusting in Him? Or will we compromise our faith just to get ourselves out of trouble? Just to have an easy life, we compromise. Or we even deny Him, showing that we have no faith in the first place. So, dear friends, the fear of the Lord will cause us to see things in God's perspective, not from a worm's eye view, from a bird's eye view, God's perspective. And then we have a heart that is like His, and a mind that is like His, and then we will have confidence, not in ourselves, but in the Lord, who sees all, who knows all, and who will act in due time. His timing, not our timing. His timing, which is always what? Perfect. And even if the Lord does not deliver us, does that mean that He is not true and not real? Learn from the faith of Daniel's three friends who refused to bow to the image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And, you know, Nebuchadnezzar threatened the three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You don't fall down, I'll throw you into the fiery furnace. And the three friends says, we are not worried about this. And even if you throw us in the fire, we will not bow down to the image. We know our God can deliver us miraculously from the fiery furnace. But even if He doesn't, let it be known to you, O king, we will not bow down to your image, because we fear God and His commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. You don't bow down to them. We fear the commandments of God. and the Lord delivered them. So how we must fear God and His good eye. His good eye is on those whom He had chosen, right, to belong to Him. And we are special. Those who are born again, who are God's children, who are God's people, elect of God, chosen of God, are very, very precious. Very precious to God. And He will take special care of us. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. And even if He doesn't deliver us, yet we will trust in Him. Right? This is the kind of faith that we must have for the Lord. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Let us pray. Father, help us to always believe and to have faith and trust in Thee. Many a time our faith is very weak, and the slightest trouble we begin to shake and begin to doubt and begin to backslide. Oh Lord, help us. Strengthen our faith, O Lord, in Thee, and increase our faith that we might always fear Thee and trust in Thee. For troublous times are ahead, but we know that You will come back soon and You will keep Thy promise and fulfill Thy promise. So help us to seek Thy kingdom and Thy righteousness first. And we know that all these things that we need, You will give and add unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.